Did you know that St. Luke's University Health Network, based in the Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania, has been recognized by the U.S. government as the highest performing health system in the United States for quality? You heard right. St. Luke's number one recognition affirms our status as the top leader among the most respected healthcare providers in the nation, including Houston Methodist and the Mayo Clinic. To state it simply, if you want to receive the best care when you go to a hospital, come to St. Luke's.
Some follow the noise. Bloomberg follows the money. Because behind every headline is a bottom line. Whether it's the funds fueling AI or crypto's trillion-dollar swings, there's a money side to every story. And when you see the money side, you understand what others miss. Get the money side of the story. Subscribe now at Bloomberg.com.
It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noam Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, traffic, Justin Ellick, sports. And now,
talking the news with Noam
on 77 WABC.
Yes, that's me. Good morning. It is Thursday, March 26th. Your forecast from the 77 WABC Weather Center. Clouds this morning, sunshine this afternoon. It's the Mets home opener. If you're heading out to Citi Field, the high is going to be 72. I mean, this is beautiful, but unfortunately, it's just one day because tonight and overnight, some showers roll in, low 53, and then Friday, cloudy, the high just 57. If you're walking out the door with us right now, 44 and cloudy in Hempstead out on Long Island, 47 and cloudy in my hometown of Trenton over in New Jersey, and it's 45 and cloudy right outside our Midtown studios.
This is the Top 5 at 5.
Was that really a bomb in Brooklyn? John Katsimatidis and the mayor have a sit-down at City Hall. A new poll may have Governor Hochul a bit horrified. The NTSB continues its deep dive into the LaGuardia crash. A Bronx man says his dog sitter has swiped his best friends. All right, let's get into it at 5:01. An American Airlines flight had to make an emergency landing at Newark last night. We were watching video of this. The tarmac showed these emergency vehicles responding to flight 1461. It was a 737 from Charlotte to Newark after reports of a blown front tire. Support authority police responded. Malfunctioning nose landing gear as well. Nobody was hurt. The landing ended up being fine. The incident, though, coming, of course, just a couple days after that deadly crash at LaGuardia, where two pilots were killed when the Air Canada jet collided with a fire truck on the runway. And in the wake of that crash that killed the two pilots, the NTSB doing this deep dive into exactly what took place, who's at fault. They noted and they continue to note that it was the first accident to take place at LaGuardia in 34 years. But apparently, there has been a lot of near misses. Will Gushbond is the senior reporter at the Air Current. It's an aviation news service. And he's cataloged a history of near misses at LaGuardia that go back to the 1990s. He talks a little bit about that. Also talking about the geography of LaGuardia, which apparently poses some special challenges for people who land there.
There have been a slew of close calls, specifically between aircraft and ground vehicles at LaGuardia Airport.
It's on a very small footprint. There is a lot of traffic in a very confined space.
Sunday's collision also has drawn attention to an air traffic control system that is stretched thin. A national shortage of air traffic controllers dates back years, but it means those on the job are often overworked. Now, there were two people in the air traffic control tower on duty on Sunday night. The NTSB says that is standard procedure, but they worry that maybe it is problematic.
The midnight shift, as a reminder, is one that we have many times at the NTSB raised concerns about with respect to fatigue.
Now, the NTSB wants to talk to those air traffic controllers. They want to talk to the people who are on the fire truck. They'll talk with people who are on the Air Canada flight as well. But these same experts who talk about these near misses that have taken place at LaGuardia still point to the fact that airline travel is the safest way to go.
The system is safe, and statistically, aviation transportation is still by far the safest way to travel in this country and in the world.
There are probably more fatalities on the LIE than there are in the airports in New York in the last 20 years, and I'm sure that ratio is pretty skewed. I don't think you'll talk to anybody who would say they're afraid to drive their car on the Long Island Expressway.
So the NTSB will continue their investigation. They towed that plane off the runway yesterday. 504. NYPD investigating after a suspicious device turned up yesterday in a Brooklyn neighborhood.
Police say they were searching for a ghost gun at Avenue Y and 2nd Street late this morning after getting a 911 call. Instead, cops found what looked like a pipe bomb, so they called in the NYPD bomb squad. The device was safely removed. No one was hurt, we're told, and police say they have a suspect in custody. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
A recent subway shove is now a murder case.
Air Force veteran Richard Williams, one of two men who was pushed from the platform at the Lexington 63rd Street station March 8th, has died of his head injuries. Byron Hernandez, who police think shoved the 83-year-old to the tracks, will now face murder charges. Homeland Security says Hernandez has more than a dozen charges on his rap sheet and has been deported four times since 2008. He'll be rearraigned Monday. Williams recently celebrated his 55th wedding anniversary. In New York, I'm Andrew Whitman.
Yeah, that story is especially outrageous. An Air Force veteran, 83 years old, shoved onto the tracks and now dead, unfortunately. 505, social media giants may have to make some major changes after being found liable for addicting kids to their platforms.
A jury in Los Angeles sided with the plaintiff, a young woman, in the landmark federal trial involving Instagram's parent company Meta and YouTube's parent company Google. She accused the companies of designing their platforms to get her hooked early on, leading to depression and suicidal thoughts into adulthood. She was awarded $3 million. Snapchat and TikTok had previously settled out of court with her. The case has been watched closely because it's seen as a test case for hundreds of similar lawsuits that are pending across the U.S. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
505, let's go overseas. U.S.-Israeli strikes continue on Iran this morning. Iranian missiles targeting central and northern Israel this morning. The Pentagon reportedly preparing to send more troops to the Middle East as the war seems to rage on. Correspondent Richard Engel says multiple reports say the U.S. Army's 82nd Airborne Division will be deployed.
The announcement came as President Trump in the Oval Office yesterday said he's already won the war.
Well, I think we're going to end it. I can't tell you for sure. I don't like to say this. We've won this. This war has been won.
More than 1,000 additional troops from the 82nd Airborne Division are heading to the Middle East, according to two sources. They'll be joining thousands more Marines, sailors, and other American troops already on their way. More American troops are coming. The U.S. and Israel launching, as of this morning, 9,000 attacks so far, according to the Pentagon. New images today from Iran show extensive damage in the city of Isfahan. But peace negotiations may be coming.
The White House says that Iran is looking for an exit out of the war. Press Secretary Caroline Levitt yesterday.
Their ability to attack American and ally forces, as well as their ability to defend their own territory, is dwindling literally hour by hour.
Now, Levitt says if Iran does not deal, the U.S. will ramp up its military offensive against the Islamic Republic.
Day by day, the Iranian regime is being crippled, and their ability to threaten the United States and our allies is being significantly weakened. Their ambitions of building a nuclear weapon have also been crushed to an even greater degree than they were in Operation Midnight Hammer. From the outset, President Trump and the Department of War estimated it would take approximately 4 to 6 weeks to achieve this critical mission. 25 days in, the greatest military the world has ever known is ahead of schedule and performing exceptionally.
Now, we had heard that these third-party talks between the U.S. and Iran were going well. Now, Iran says that's not the case, that the talks are not going well. President Trump says they are, and that there was talk that there might even be a meeting face-to-face in Islamabad today, but that does not look like it's going to happen. Of course, we'll continue to follow the developments that continue to take place, missiles flying as we speak between Iran, the U.S., Israel this morning. WABC Newstime 510. Democrats say they're not to blame for the partial government shutdown that has led to those long lines at the airport. California Congressman Lou Correa says that the Republican demands for more Homeland Security funding are unreasonable.
ICE and CBP flush with cash right now.
He's blaming President Trump for the shutdown, saying he ordered his backers not to negotiate with Democrats.
DHS reported that ICE received more than $310 million in transfers from other DHS agencies. Ask DHS leadership for existing ICE and CBP funds to be reprogrammed.
The White House pointing fingers at Democrats, though, for the government shutdown as it drags on. Democrats rejected a Republican proposal to reopen the Department of Homeland Security with only partial funding for ICE and instead offered a counter proposal yesterday.
For the Democrats in Congress, the cruelty of this shutdown is the point. Nearly 500 TSA officers have quit since the Democrat shutdown began.
That's Press Secretary Caroline Levitt.
And for all of the critics of this solution a few days ago when it was proposed by the president, it is yielding results. Wait times have improved since ICE arrived, and they are doing everything in their power to help their fellow federal service members.
And then we're hearing about these TSA workers who have not received a paycheck more than a month now, resorting to donating blood, sleeping in their cars as they continue working without pay during the partial government shutdown. These are people who make, by the way, I don't know, 45, 50 grand a year. So now you take away a month's pay. Take away a month's pay from anybody, and it makes it hard to put it all together. Here's former TSA administrator John Pistol says something's got to give so these guys can get and gals can get paid.
Congress needs to act. The administration needs to act. Work out a compromise. Look, it's reasonable people can find reasonable accomplishments with reasonable goals, and gets back to the goal of what's the purpose of all this.
Of course, not shocking that more than 400 TSA workers have quit. You'll remember the government shut down back in the fall. They went without a paycheck for a long time. And how long can you do that for?
Oh, by the way, we're at war with Iran. And so it's just not a good time to have additional strain put on these checkpoints for the millions of people who travel every day.
Okay, so it depends on where you are. Here in the tri-state, we've had days where the long lines have happened, but not every day. And then there's times where people just walk right through, no problem, 15, 20 minutes. But you go across the country, some of these smaller airports, they are having issues. 512, the death of an 18-year-old college student in Chicago, that woman who is from Yorktown, at the hands of a man from Venezuela, has put the spotlight back on sanctuary cities. Senator John Cornyn, he's from Texas, says that most Americans are opposed to shielding those who are in the country illegally.
According to a recent Harvard-Harris poll, 75% of the American people support deporting people who are not legally authorized.
The Texas Republican says the shooting death of Sheridan Gorman, who was from Westchester, was eerily similar to the murder of Laken Riley. She was killed back in 2024 by a man who snuck in near El Paso. In both of these cases, the men had been arrested but were set free until their trial. Senator Cornyn says all the polls show that Americans oppose sanctuary city rules that allow people like these gunmen back on the street.
Why is it that our Democratic colleagues find it so hard to simply support enforcement of a law?
Gorman, they're going to have a memorial service. I think it's going to be tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken, up in Westchester. 513. NASA is announcing plans now to build a $20 billion base on the surface of the moon.
The move means, however, the agency's canceling plans to deploy a space station in lunar orbit, which was billed the Lunar Gateway Station. The update was unveiled as part of the agency's Ignition event, outlining multiple initiatives aimed at landing on the moon by the end of 2028. NASA's revamped initiatives come as China challenges the U.S.'s position as the world's leader in space exploration after the nation announced it was on track to land astronauts on the moon by 2030. I'm Jim Roop.
WABC News Time 514. An American held captive by the Taliban for more than a year. Well, he's back home this morning. Dennis Coyle reunited with his family in San Antonio. His sister Molly says she's ecstatic that he's home and free.
There's been so many people praying and supporting our family, and from the bottom of our hearts, we thank everybody for this day.
COIL's release was announced at the end of Ramadan. In a statement, the foreign ministry said his imprisonment was sufficient.
We are going to take some time as a family to heal, to spend special time with Dennis. His 83-year-old mother is here to welcome him, and we're as a family here to spend time and help him heal.
Molly and family members did everything they could to make sure that nobody forgot about Dennis COIL. We don't even really know why he was held against his will by the Taliban.
It's been a privilege to be a family and a united cause to bring our eldest brother home, and now the picture's complete with his three sisters and our big brother and brother-in-law.
Yeah. Thank God he's home. COIL, who was in Afghanistan as an academic, was accused of violating laws, but the Taliban was never very specific about which laws he had violated. In a moment, we'll tell you about how the sheriff who's leading the search for Nancy Guthrie is in some hot water this morning. We'll get into that in just a moment. But first, 5:15, let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk. Good morning, Justin Ellick.
Good morning to you, Noah Maladen. Start out here on the Diamond in San Francisco for the first time this year. Aaron Judge, he went hitless on opening day for the first time and struck out four times for the first time since September 2024. But the Yankees still produced plenty of offense and beat the Giants 7-0 last night as the Major League season began. Jose Caballero drove in the go-ahead run with an RBI single and a five-run second, and also lost the first challenge taken to MLB's so-called robot umpire, unsuccessfully appealing a strike by Logan Webb in the fourth. Max Fried allowed two hits and 6 1/3 innings to become just the fifth Yankees pitcher since 69 with at least 6 1/3 shutout innings on opening day, joining Catfish Hunter, Ron Guidry, Rick Rodin, and David Cone. New York won an opener with a shutout on the road for the first time since 1967. Up next for the Yanks, the two teams will resume the series come Friday with righty Cam Schlittler set to start for New York. Today, this afternoon, 1:15 p.m. at Citi Field, it's going to be a beautiful day for your opening day for the New York Mets. They'll welcome in the Pittsburgh Pirates. Freddie Peralta will get the opening day start for New York against Pittsburgh ace Paul Skeens. Head to the hardwood out in San Fran. Warriors beat the Nets 109-106. Tonight, the Knicks, they're back at it against the Hornets. 7 p.m. start there. Head to college basketball where the Sweet 16 gets underway tonight. 7:10 p.m. 11 seed Texas versus 2 seed Purdue in the West region. Purdue there, 7.5-point favorites. 7:30, get 9 seed Iowa versus 4 seed Nebraska. Nebraska 1.5-point favorites there for the South region. Back to the West region at 9:45 p.m. tonight. 4 seed Arkansas versus 1 seed Arizona. Arizona there, 7.5-point favorites. And then back to the South region tonight at 10:05 p.m. 3-seed Illinois versus 2-seed Houston. Houston in that one, 2.5-point favorites. Tomorrow night, of course, we're looking ahead to 5-seed St. John's. The Johnnies going up against 1-seed Duke, 7:10 p.m. tomorrow.
Oh, perfect.
The
7-10.
East region. Oh,
I
yeah.
like that. Yeah.
That's a good one, right?
Yeah.
Get to watch most of that game, or all of that game.
All of it's Friday
yeah,
night.
Right. Yeah. You're right about that. Where am I? How about that? So we're really looking forward to that one. Duke, obviously favorites there, being the 1-seed, 6.5 points over St. John's. On the ice, final from Toronto, Maple Leafs beat the Rangers 4-3. Tonight, Islanders back at it. The welcome in the Stars at 7 p.m. and at 8, the Devils. They're on Nashville against the Predators. That is your Sports and Home, and I'm Justin Ellick on 77 WABC.
WABC News Time 519. Have you ever fudged something on your resume? I think a lot of people have, but sometimes it comes back to bite you, and that might be what's happening to the sheriff who's leading the search for Nancy Guthrie in southern Arizona. He's going to have to answer some questions now. During a public meeting yesterday, the Pima County Board of Supervisors voted unanimously to have an outside attorney question Sheriff Chris Nanos under oath about his resume and about his work history.
We asked our members a clear question: confidence in Sheriff Nanos to continue in office or no confidence, and a call for his resignation. The verdict was unanimous: no confidence. He has lost the faith of his deputies. and the community.
You know, back in the day, you could put stuff on your resume and it was hard to figure out. You can't do that anymore. Nanos has been under the microscope for his handling of the Guthrie investigation as well as his work history. And that stems from an Arizona Republic report that says his resume is not accurate.
Sheriff's well-documented history with the El Paso Police Department should have never granted him employment in the Pima County Correctional System, much less the climb to sheriff.
Yeah, you know, if this Guthrie case had never come up, he probably just would have sailed right into retirement. But in a statement, the Sheriff's Department says Nanos will comply with the investigation. 521. President Trump, speaking at a National Republican Congressional Committee fundraiser dinner last night, he's trying to get the troops inspired, says he'll likely see, he believes, a midterm victory like the country has never seen before.
For whatever reason, I don't know what it is, but a president who wins, Republican or Democrat, almost always does poorly in the midterms. Nobody knows why, even if it's a successful presidency.
He thinks he'll be able to reverse course. The president, urging voters to elect Republicans in the upcoming elections, touted the fundraising haul they've taken in so far for the midterms.
And there are those that say this has been the first, I mean, really the best first year ever for a president. And I agree with them, I must tell you. I agree with them 100%. But with your help this November, we'll defeat the radical left Democrats and we'll win a midterm victory like our country has never seen.
White House telling Republicans that you have to be all in on the midterms. And he says he's ready to make stump speeches and host events to pull and maybe in some cases drag Republicans across the finish line come November. 522, overseas for the first time in 1,400 years, a woman going to lead the Church of England. Sarah Mullaly is formerly the Bishop of London, was installed yesterday as the new Archbishop of Canterbury, the 106th person in the office and the first woman ever to hold that title.
I solemnly commit myself before you to the service of the Church of England, the Anglican Communion, and the whole Church of Christ throughout the world.
In the week before the ceremony, Mullaly walked nearly 90 miles from London to Canterbury, a journey that is well known to readers of the Canterbury Tales. Who is that? Is that Geoffrey Chaucer? Chaucer? Is that right? I don't know. See if my brain's working right. The Church of England has only permitted women to become priests since 1994 and bishops since 2014. New guidelines from the Vatican say Catholics now may receive animal organ transplants.
A new document released by the Catholic Church on Tuesday found no objection to using animals as a source of organs, tissues, or cells for human transplants. The document also outlined ethical and medical standards for animal-human transplant procedures known as xenotransplantation. The Vatican said xenotransplants could offer an unlimited supply of organs, tissue, and cells, relieving the chronic shortage of human donors, while also noting the need to avoid any chance that the recipient's genome will be altered. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Let's go from the Vatican, bring it back home. Supreme Court siding with Cox Communications in its billion-dollar lawsuit over pirated music.
More than 50 labels joined together to sue Cox in 2018, accusing the internet service provider of failing to respond to thousands of infringement notices, cut off internet access for repeat infringers, or take other piracy deterrent steps. However, justices determined Cox Communication cannot be held liable for piracy by its internet service subscribers of songs owned by Sony Music, Warner Music Group, Universal Music Group, and other labels. The 9-2-0 ruling overturned a lower court's decision ordering a new trial to determine how much the internet service provider owed the record labels. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
President Trump trying to make it easier for community banks to lend people the money they need to buy a home. Bankers say a new executive order is cutting through the red tape for them.
Having over 200 pages of documents when really less than 10 pages really matter.
Yeah, so that's Ron Butler with the Texas Bankers Association. He says the more paperwork there is, the more expensive it is for bankers to process things like home loans.
How much they borrowed, what their monthly payment is, what the collateral closing costs, things like that.
He thinks more banks will start issuing mortgages again, believes that may bring down prices. The NBA going to move forward with expansion exploration to Las Vegas and Seattle. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, speaking yesterday, says the league's board of governors have authorized the formal evaluations to add teams in both of those cities, Vegas and Seattle.
I think they're Seattle and Las Vegas, in terms of their history and support of NBA basketball, are unique in terms of available markets in the U.S. right now.
The NBA has hired an investment firm, PJT Partners, to assess ownership groups, arena plans, and the economic impact of putting teams in both of those cities.
My timeline, you know, we weren't so specific with the board, is that we need to know by the end of this calendar year what it is we're doing. It may not be that, you know, every I is dotted, but that would be our goal this year.
Seattle, you'll remember, was home to the Supersonics years ago before they moved that team to Oklahoma City, rebranded them as the Thunder. Silver says both markets have a strong history of supporting professional basketball. Apparently, spring cleaning is good for your health. Kia Ray Pruitt, a psychologist for the Cleveland Clinic, says decluttering will not only make your home look nice, but it'll also boost your mood.
You can pick one room or one space and just set that as a goal and start there. And then once you do that, that can help motivate you to keep going.
All right. She says cleaning itself releases feel-good chemicals like endorphins, which can increase energy and lift your mood, apparently.
It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noam Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, Traffic, Justin Ellick, Sports. And now,
Talking the News with Noam
on 77 WABC.
Yes, that's me. Good morning. It is Thursday, March 26. Your forecast from the 77 WABC Weather Center. Clouds this morning, but sunshine this afternoon for the Mets opener at Citi Field. The high it's going to be 72. That's going to be a delightful way to watch the game. Tonight and overnight, though, the showers come in, low 53. And then Friday, cloudy, the high just 57. If you're walking out the door with us right now, so happy you are. 44 cloudy in Hempstead out on Long Island. 47 and cloudy in my hometown of Trenton over in New Jersey. And it's 45 and cloudy right outside our Midtown studios. WABC News Time 540. The owner-operator, WABC, John Katsimatidis, had a meeting, a sit-down with Mayor Mamdani at City Hall yesterday. There was a lot of anticipation about how this was going to go, what the two would talk about. It was at 2:30 yesterday afternoon. Melissa Russo, the reporter for NBC, she asked the mayor about this meeting before it took place.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you hope to get out of your meeting with John Katsimatidis today? I'm curious. Do you plan to talk about, you know, what Sid Rosenberg said about you on the radio?
I think the conversation might veer to the fact that he went to Brooklyn Tech and I went to Bronx Science. I think that the conversation may also extend into that about grocery stores and about the importance of making the city a more affordable one.
Yeah, the mayor not taking the bait about answering about our very own Sid Rosenberg.
What's that?
What do you mean?
Why do you think he didn't take the bait?
Because he didn't want to talk about you. He doesn't want to acknowledge you in any way. So he just was like, yeah, okay. And he did a good job, by the way, of not answering it. He gave a good answer.
Wasn't he just crying at a press conference less than 3 weeks ago, basically demanding an apology? Now he decided yesterday, no more Sid Rosenberg conversation.
Nope.
You know why? Because he knows if he does, then I'm going to take his wife to the woodshed.
Yeah.
And I'd be right.
But he just moved on. And then a couple hours later, so that was during a press conference earlier in the day, he was making an announcement about housing. And then later we watched on as our very own boss, John, walked up the stairs of City Hall. This was about 2:15 yesterday, walked into City Hall with reporters following him, peppering him with questions about Sid and other things. What are you going to talk to the mayor about? And then they had their sit down. And then at 5 o'clock last night on Katz and Cosby, it was time for the crew on Katz and Cosby to ask John, what was it like to sit down with Mayor Mamdani? Here's a little bit of that.
Me and George met with the mayor in his office.
George, by the way, is John's chief of staff.
Along with his chief of staff and along with his first deputy mayor. And it was an excellent meeting. And George Venizelos, how would you...
I thought it was a great first meeting. I really did. I think you both showed respect for each other. You know, and I think he He's a likable politician, so you know he's good. He's he's charming. He's got the big smile.
All right. So during this meeting, they did talk about their childhood. John said he talked about growing up in Harlem. They talked about going to school here, and then John had apparently texted the mayor about an idea, a dream he had, this idea of bringing the World's Fair back to New York City. So when they sat down, he brought that up during this meeting that lasted about a half hour.
We talked about how he grew up. We talked about how I grew up. Mm-hmm. How I grew up at, you know, in 135th Street in West Harlem, and that I went to PS 192, and he knew because he went to City College, and he knows that whole area very well. So we talked about that. And the one item that I brought up when I ran for mayor in 2013 is that I had a dream. I texted him before that, and I told him about it, that I had a dream of having the World's Fair of 2015. And I said to him it would have happened. And he was really, I mean, George,
yeah,
I
no, he was intrigued by that.
Yeah, so maybe we'll see a World's Fair come to New York while Mamdani is in office. All right, so here's the big part. Did the two talk about Sid Rosenberg, right? You had all those Democrats a couple weeks back calling Sid an Islamophobe, saying that he better be nicer to the mayor. So did Sid's name come up during the meeting between the mayor and our boss, the guy who runs WABC, John?
What about our colleague Sid Rosenberg? Did that come up?
George?
Well,
not with him.
Not with him, any of those.
The report is after, but not with him.
Right, not with him. So no topic of protest, anti-Semitism, was that discussed?
No.
The crime?
No. Yeah. So just like that press conference earlier in the day where they asked the mayor about Sid, he did not talk to John, which would have been, you think, a perfect opportunity. No, that did not come up during the meeting, the sit-down between those two giants yesterday. But awfully interesting that they're speaking, and maybe we'll get more out of John as the morning wears on. All right. In a moment, by the way, I should point out that yesterday, before he met the mayor with John, John, of course, is a billionaire. The mayor was talking about taxing billionaires and millionaires. We'll get in a little bit more of that coming up in just a moment. But first, 5:45, let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk. First day of Mets season on the way. Here's Justin Ellick.
Yes, sir. Indeed. Looking ahead to 1:15 p.m. this afternoon. Mets at Citi Field. Sun will be out, right, Noam Layden?
It's going to be sunny and 70. It won't be 70 when the first pitch is thrown, but by the time the game's over, it'll be like 71, 72 degrees.
Yeah. That is absolutely perfection.
Yeah.
So if you're getting out there, I don't know, get out there a little bit early. You know, there's going to be a big crowd, big line trying to get into that game. The bars will be packed, so get out there early. Get into your seat and enjoy that sun. And some opening day at baseball at Citi Field. Freddy Peralta will get the start in game 101-62 for the Mets. And we'll obviously welcome in the Pittsburgh Pirates. And Pittsburgh will go with their ace, Paul Skeens, in the opener. Out in San Francisco yesterday, the Yankees, they got underway their regular season. Aaron Judge, he went hitless on opening day for the first time. Struck out four times for the first time since 2024. But the Yankees still produced plenty of offense and beat the Giants 7-0 as the Major League season began. Jose Caballero, newcomer, drove in the go-ahead run with an RBI single and a five-run second, and also lost the first challenge taken to MLB's ABS challenge system, the so-called robot umpire, unsuccessfully appealing a strike by Logan Webb in the fourth. Max Fried, he was stellar, as he was all year last year, allowed two hits and six and a third innings to become just the fifth Yankees pitcher since 69 with at least six and a third shutout innings on opening day. Up next for the Yanks, the two teams will resume the series come Friday with righty Cam Schlittler set to start for New York. And obviously, I should go to the hardwood here. NBA final from San Francisco. We'll stick in San Francisco. The Nets lost to the Warriors 109-106. The Knicks, they're back in action tonight out in Charlotte against the Hornets. That's a 7 p.m. start there. Head to your college basketball on your Sweet 16 slate for tonight. 7:10 p.m., 11 seed Texas against 2 seed Purdue. Purdue, they're 7.5 point favorites in the West region. region. Then we'll head to the South region at 7:30. 9-seed Iowa versus 4-seed Nebraska. Nebraska 1.5-point favorites in that contest. Back to the West region at 9:45. 4-seed Arkansas versus 1-seed Arizona. Zona 7.5-point favorites in that one. And wrapping out the action tonight, 10:05 p.m. in the South region, it's 3-seed Illinois versus 2-seed Houston. Houston there, 2.5-point favorites. Tomorrow night, looking ahead to the Johnnies back in action. Their Sweet 16 matchup against 1-seed Duke. The Devils there, 6.5-point favorites. 7:10 p.m. tip-off in the East region tomorrow night. On the ice, your final from Toronto. Rangers fell to the Maple Leafs, 4-3. And tonight, the Islanders, they're back at it. They're welcoming the Dallas Stars at 7 p.m. And at 8 p.m., the Devils are out in Nashville against the Predators. That is your Sports Gnome, and I'm Justin Ellick on 77 WABC.
WABC News Time 550. Mayor Mamdani continues his call for state lawmakers to raise taxes on the wealthy in New York and to help to get the city out of a fiscal jam. This talked about this before he met with John. I don't think the matter of raising taxes on millionaires and billionaires came up during their conversation, but he mentioned it again yesterday, the mayor did, saying he's encouraged by the conversations his team is having with Albany regarding raising taxes on the wealthy in New York.
We want to pursue a path that doesn't put this fiscal deficit on the backs of working class New Yorkers who had nothing to do with generating this.
Meanwhile, the mayor announcing that the city agency department heads have to come up with $1.7 billion in saving proposals to help with that huge budget gap he's dealing with. An investigation underway following the discovery of a possible pipe bomb inside a house in Gravesend section of Brooklyn yesterday. Homeland Security investigation was executing some sort of search warrant at this house on West 2nd Street yesterday as part of a ghost gun investigation when they found a suspicious package inside. The building was evacuated. Somebody who knows the person who lives in that apartment says he just knows him as a guy who smokes a lot of weed.
He did smoke weed, so like you would smell it, so I thought someone complained or something, but when I heard Homeland Security, I was confused. I haven't had much conversation with him. He seemed fine, like, hi, he's friendly, like, nothing out of the ordinary.
People who smoke a lot of weed tend to be friendly folks. The bomb squad was called in to x-ray the package. They determined that the device was something that was consistent with the pipe bomb. So they brought it up to that tactical training center for examination up in the Bronx to see what exactly what it was as neighbors watched on.
You know, you don't really know, like, sometimes who your neighbors are.
But tonight, they're back home.
It's scary stuff, man. You know, you don't really know, like, sometimes who your neighbors are.
Yeah, okay. So one person wasn't taken into custody. Charges pending. Now, I will note this. This is the important part of the story. As police say, nothing at this point suggests that this alleged pipe bomb was part of any sort of active terror plot or bigger terror investigation. We now learning a little bit more about this high school kid who was shot to death earlier this week. This is just a heartbreaking story. Camadre Coldman was killed on Monday, less than a week before he was about to turn 17 years old. A 16-year-old who was on the football team, he's been charged with his death. And apparently what happened here is they might have been playing with a gun and passing it around when it accidentally went off. In fact, lawyers for both sides agree that this is just a totally an accident. Here's Camadre's sister, who is just heartbroken.
It was me and him. That was me. He was excited to be 17, excited to become this grown man, excited. Y'all took that. And I'm mad I wasn't there. I'm mad. And I'm sorry, Camadre. Because I know I vowed to protect you.
Yeah, one of the teens, apparently they were passing around this gun, unloading and loading it for fun when it went off. So the 16-year-old who's being charged, we're not giving out his name due to his age, but he has been charged with manslaughter in the second degree, criminal possession of a weapon in the second degree. Here's his lawyer.
It's a kid who's never been in trouble before. He's going to have to live with the fact that his one of his close friends and teammate is never coming back.
Yeah. A small memorial now stands outside the home Coleman shared with his mother and sister.
We want justice for Camadre. All right? That's all I'm asking for is justice for my nephew. Okay? He did not deserve this.
Yeah, the family holding a vigil tomorrow at 6 p.m. at Sheepshead Bay High School. 554 over to New Jersey. Cops still continue to search for the group of teens who stabbed a 16-year-old outside of the Hackensack police station, of all places. Nobody really knows what the motive behind this crime was. The family speaking out, demanding answers. Neighbors, of course, want to know what's going on here, whether they should be worried walking the streets near the Hackensack police station.
Now, I feel like, you know, we're a little bit on edge because of everything that's going on. You got kids. It's a busy intersection at that, you know, and you do it right in front of the police station. It's like, come on. It's like, where's the common sense with these kids?
Some family members showed up at the Hackensack City Council meeting hours after he was stabbed multiple times outside of City Hall. And they say he was stabbed 7 times. He was in surgery at Hackensack University Medical Center for 3 hours. He's in stable condition. So they say he's going to survive. But of course, he's messed up from this thing. Apparently, whoever stabbed him got into a black BMW and raced away. But lots of people say it looked like they were teenagers as well.
Hackensack is on the upswing because of all the developments with the housing and everything. And then you hear something like this, and it's just, like, terrible.
Instead of me just being a dad, I got to turn to a cop. They feel like, you know, you're a man because you got a weapon. But these are babies.
Yeah, these are some parents there who have kids in Hackensack. Unclear again what led to the stabbing. No description of the people involved has been released and no arrests have been made. Let's bring it back here into New York. A new poll shows the New York governor's race is tightening.
It's an internal poll commissioned by the Bruce Blakeman campaign, and it shows the Nassau County executive just 9 points behind incumbent Governor Kathy Hochul. Hochul, the Democrat, getting 52% voter support. Blakeman, the Republican, with 43%. McLaughlin and Associates conducted the survey and says the results are ominous for Hochul and provide a path to victory for Blakeman. Siena University's latest poll, conducted late last month, showed Blakeman 20 points behind Hochul, 51% to 31%. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
And we'll end up in the Bronx where it is a heartbroken dog owner. So he hires this pet sitter to walk his beloved 4 bulldogs. And the guy walks the dogs, and apparently he had walked the dogs before. It wasn't the first time. But then he never came back with them. So he has doorbell camera on his front door, and it shows this individual picking up his dogs, but then never returning and then lying about it. Well, here's the pet owner who now, these 4 bulldogs, they're gone. Nobody seems to know where they are.
The Ring camera shows that he left the building at 4:45 with my dogs on Saturday. So for him to come back the next day and say, hey, I don't know what, the dogs aren't here, it was like very mental. People hire dog walkers and they, you know, trust them with their kids, basically. So this is very scary.
Oh, my God. I would hunt that guy down, not let him go until he told me where the dogs were. The thought is, on the part of the NYPD, who are, by the way, part of this investigation, they think he may have sold these dogs because they were expensive animals. So far, there's been no arrests.
Thanks for listening to the NewsHour with Noam Layden. You can hear the NewsHour with Noam Layden weekday mornings at 5 on 77 WABC. If you like the podcast, share it with your friends and listen anytime at WABCRadio.com and download the WABC Radio app. Hit that subscribe button on all major podcast platforms. Plus, follow WABC on social, on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and X. See you next time for a new episode so you never have to wonder,
what the heck is going on here?
77 WABC and Bergen Newbridge Medical Center honor the life of legendary broadcaster and our friend, Ernie Anastas.
Hi, it's Ernie Anastas. You know, your thoughts can affect how you feel. Bergen Newbridge Medical Center is the largest hospital in New Jersey, providing comprehensive, equitable, compassionate, and high-quality emergency inpatient and outpatient medical care, plus mental health services and substance use disorder treatment. The Bergen Newbridge team can address your total health needs in one convenient location. Call 201-225-7130 for an appointment or newbridgehealth.org.